My name is Rodney Paul, and I'm from Syracuse University. This is joint work with two of my students. Both are involved in the Sabermetric Club, and basically one's Jeremy Losak, who is unfortunately not here, and the other is Justin Mattingly, who is here at some point over here, right up here up front. And basically, our topic is the impact of game duration on Major League Baseball attendance, and we took the idea of, you know, major push forward by Major League Baseball to try to increase the pace of play and try to be able to apply it to the business side of the analytics, to be able to try to understand what's happening in terms of the fans' mind of if the length of a game actually has any type of impact on how many fans actually come out to the ballpark. What we're looking at here in terms of the measurement is game duration. Game duration is in time, the time in minutes of a Major League Baseball game. As we were working through last semester, and we were talking about things in the office and actually at our club meetings, we basically came across the proposed rule changes and really immediately came to me of the idea of, well, what kind of impact is that going to have on the revenue side? Is this something that fans are going to go ahead and be able to appreciate? Can we see that from the data? And will it go ahead and lead to more fans coming out in attendance? And that was the driving force behind this. As you may know, they tried these rules in the Arizona Fall League, and I'll get to what those results were in just a moment. And we want to go ahead and be able to try to estimate what might happen this year if the games actually go ahead and do get shorter, or they get shorter over time. In terms of a historical comparison here, in 2014, the average length of a game was just over 3 hours. In terms of 1981, what happened was the length of the game was about 2 hours and 33 minutes, so increasing about a half hour in terms of that particular time frame. Even since 2005, Major League Baseball games have increased in time by about 15 minutes. In recent years, this increase in the time of game has coincided with a decrease in scoring. So this is something to possibly worry about in terms of fans having many different entertainment possibilities, being able to keep their interest, be able to go ahead and be able to choose baseball over not just other sports, but movies and other things that they will have at their disposal. We know some of the slides get cut off here in terms of the technical problems, but what I have here is that many Yankees-Red Sox games, as you know, lasted over 4 hours. Whether that exclamation point is a good thing or a bad thing depends upon your point of view. Some people love that, some people do not. And we have to kind of judge from the league trying to be able to make the game speed up that there's something about that that they do not like. The rules that were proposed, this is when we started the study, we went from the proposed rules, so let me just quickly go through them, I'm sure you're familiar with them, and then we'll talk about what actually is introduced. We have the 20-second pitch clock, that basically goes back to rule 8.04, pitcher must pitch within 12 seconds. The proposed rule was that in any situation, the pitcher must pitch within 20 seconds, and this would lead to automatic balls or strikes, depending upon who's at fault. The batter's box rule of being able to batter to keep 1 foot in the batter's box, with obvious exceptions, be able to keep the game moving along. There was the no-pitch intentional walks, where a manager can just raise 4 fingers to be able to automatically have the batter be able to progress to first base. That four-finger salute is probably as offensive to many baseball fans as if I were to reduce the number of fingers to one. But it's a matter of that. It's, again, a proposed rule change that's on the boards. There was, at the time, a 2-minute and 5 second inning break clock that was proposed, which we know has changed. There's the 2.5-minute pitching change break clock and kind of a 3-timeout limit that had to do with visits to the mound. For this particular season, though, what we do have adopted, which really is not as severe as what was proposed in terms of not balls and strike penalties, but fines once we go ahead and get into the month of May, is that the hitters are supposed to have 1 foot in the box, other than, you know, inside pitches, et cetera, et cetera. A 225 count on the clock that you see if you've gone to spring training games here while you're here, see the countdown of that particular clock. It is a little bit different for nationally televised games, which is 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And again, there's specific rules as to when the batter has to be in the box, et cetera, that you'll see talked about a lot as the season starts. And the other thing that might speed up the game is also being able to stay in the dugout for the instant replay challenges. What were the results in the Arizona Fall League? Well, we had a decrease in time by 10 minutes. And I'm more concerned here from the business side to think about what are the fans thinking? Is 10 minutes something that would go ahead and be sufficient enough that if you were worried about going to a baseball game and that you were getting home too late to be able to get up comfortably for work the next day or something like that, is 10 minutes meaningful or not? Right? That's something that I think have to go ahead and keep in mind as we go through these things. And again, we obviously know the players that have complained and talked about different reasons why it might not work. From the economic side, which is my background, wanted to go ahead and be able to figure out, well, why would Major League Baseball want to do this? The logical reasoning is that it would go ahead and be able to increase revenues and profits in some type of way. We know from the players' complaints that it might not necessarily be something that has to do with actual on-field performance so much, but there's something else that's probably driving this. So we wanted to be able to take a look at this, and we thought there was two possible angles, one being attendance, the other being television ratings. Television ratings, even though I've been able to do some research in the past on NFL, is pretty scarce and it's very expensive if you try to get that information from Nielsen. So this was kind of out of the question and was not able to find a real useful data set to be able to try to look at television, which I'd love to do, but we do have the attendance figures. And with the attendance figures, we can spend some time to be able to think about, do fans react to longer games. In terms of trying to be able to test this, our null hypothesis is we want to know, all else equal, does an increase in the length of the game lead to the decrease in the number of fans? And we're going to really kind of approach this in two ways. One's going to be on a game-by-game basis to try to be able to think about, as fans progress during the season, if the games get longer or shorter, does the walk-up crowd go ahead and be able to change, the people that are kind of more on the margin of whether they go to the games or not? And then on a season-by-season basis to try to capture those fans that if the games got too long and they went ahead and started to shy away from re-upping their season tickets or their partial season ticket plan. So we really thought that there's two groups here, right? We're really trying to measure the fans that have shown us they're going to go to baseball games, what's happening there. We don't have any information about the rest of the universe, which is the fans that are not buying tickets right now, which is an important point to this study as well. We were able to get the data from RetroSheet, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. That has basically everything you want to know about the game, except for one part that was missing for our game-by-game analysis was weather. So we linked that up to a site called Weather Underground, and we went ahead and got the detailed weather for every single game on the Major League Baseball schedule from 2011 through 2013. By the time we started this study, the RetroSheet data wasn't up for 2014, so we did not get to update that. Here are some basic summary stats of looking at what happens. One thing to mention that we were going to look at here is that we want to talk about minutes per out as opposed to just minutes. And it doesn't make much difference in terms of the end result, but we really thought it was important because games have different lengths in terms of that. Obviously, if you go ahead and you're the home team and you're going to win, you're going to be able to go ahead and get the team out of there at the top of the ninth inning. But you also have shortened games and you have extra inning games. So we wanted to try to be able to normalize that data. So our key variable of interest is going to be duration per out or minutes per out in terms of what we're looking at. The one thing I wanted to be able to talk about, but the graph kind of went away, we did consider umpires, okay, and the umpires do not have a whole lot of variation in terms of statistical significance. It's a matter of Will Little does. He's about the only one on there that had very long games in terms of the sample that he had looked at over this three-year period, but that was the only one that wound up being statistically significant. I don't want to bog down the results by showing some long list of umpires and what each one of them did, but we thought that might be a potential thing to look into. But we really found that most of the umpires are in a single range. There's just that kind of one outlier that looked a little bit different. On those two charts were unfortunately gone on in terms of those page. So again, it's a matter of that even though we had this long list, there was only really one umpire that looked like had a substantially longer game than what was happening otherwise. So for our individual game-by-game type of situation, we're going to look at an OLS regression model, try to be able to explain why people are going to the game. Our left-hand side dependent variable is going to be the individual game attendance. And with this in mind, we're going to go ahead and try to explain it through a bunch of different factors that have been looked at in the literature before as to what drives fans out to games, and then be able to add to that our duration per minute. So some of these independent variables that are important would be things like opening day. We know that that's different than the typical game, so we're going to account for that. I actually did some work on one season where I have all the promotions coded for all teams for a different study that I did, and it didn't seem to make any difference in here in terms of duration, which probably makes sense, but not going to show those results here. The next thing listed is the win percentage. Obviously, in terms of how your team is doing is going to impact attendance, as we would expect. Also, the visitor win percentage, do that in two ways that I'll show you. One way is just in terms of the number itself, another way with the number itself coupled with individual team dummy variables that represent just that team itself. We have yearly dummies, monthly dummies, day of the week dummies to go ahead and account for weekends as opposed to weekdays. We have our key variable of interest, the minutes per out, and then from the really super long list of weather data, basically what came out being meaningful was temperature, wind speed, and humidity. And that relates a lot to something that we did last year at Sloan MIT that showed basically that, you know, some of the key weather conditions change performance, particularly in terms of pitchers, and it kind of maps into the same things that go ahead and influence fans, which I thought was kind of ironic, but is something interesting to go ahead and look at a little bit later. For our to specify in terms of try to go ahead and take account of this, this is what they call a fixed effects model. It includes fixed effects for all the home teams and also for the road teams to be able to look at the results. This goes ahead and is a OLS regression model. It's corrected for heteroscedasticity and autocorrelation through a Newey-West correction within the fixed effects. And basically, the numbers that you're going to see, what is statistically significant, has star notation by it. From the previous presentations we had before, this is talking about p-value. So basically, in terms of our p-value, going ahead and being very low, below 0.05, 0.01, also including 10% level here, you'll see that on the table if it shows up successfully here when I flip the slide. Now, this is the table that's over a couple of three slides, actually, in terms of what's happening. Just a little brief background, as you would expect, opening day added on the average about 15,400 fans. The home team win percentage had a very positive and significant effect, obviously, on the number of fans that were showing up for the game. The visitor win percentage did not, okay, in any of the specifications that we had, but mainly that had to do with more of a historical thing about teams, as I'll mention to you in just a second. There are monthly effects, obviously early in the season as opposed to opening day. You wind up with lower attendance, higher attendance in the summer. Sunday, Saturday, Friday, those are popular days that you wind up with, you know, 4,000, 7,000 more fans on those particular days. Day game did not go ahead and do anything, and the weather variables did. They're actually non-linear related, but I don't want to get too much into the data with the interest in time. But the key thing we found here in terms of any way we specify this on the game-by-game level is that, first of all, the minutes per out, okay, this is lag. This is going into that game, a season average of how long your games have been taking does not have a statistically significant effect on how many fans show up. And in addition to that, if you can read anything into it, the coefficient's actually positive, okay, which means if anything to read from this, even though it's not statistically significant, fans that go to baseball games might prefer longer games to shorter games, okay, so that kind of flies in the face a little bit of what we're seeing here in terms of the policy changes. Now again, this could have to do maybe something we thought with runs scored, so we tried minutes per run per out and minutes per out per run and any type of other combination we could see. We included runs. I actually included the total on the game from Las Vegas, the expected amount of scoring going in. None of those things wound up being significant. And in addition to that, the duration variable stayed positive and statistically insignificant. So from this particular result, it doesn't look like on a game-by-game level throughout the season that it has much of an impact. If you're playing longer games, it doesn't appear that fans are going to stop going later in the season that typically go to your games. Don't have a lot of time for this, but there are statistically the differences based on the home team and the road team. If you're curious, the Yankees still outdraw the Red Sox when they go on the road, once you account for everything else. So again, from these results, what we have is key thing here, our minutes per out does not go ahead and wind up being statistically significant, which means for all extensive purposes, its effect is zero. And if we do go ahead and pay any attention to it at all, it has the opposite sign of what the policy change actually is going ahead and doing. To go ahead and be able to get back to what I talked about before, that's only dealing with probably the people that go ahead and buy a few tickets a year or one game or different things that make their choices on a game-by-game level. But we do know that teams have rather long lists of, you know, people that are season ticket holders, partial season ticket holders, etc. So we thought, well, maybe this has a long-run effect, that if you play longer games, maybe it leads to some people not renewing their season tickets, maybe it leads to some people not getting those packages, just choosing some games to go to, which obviously would be a huge detriment to the team, right? Because that's a risk-sharing agreement that when you get a season ticket holder, whether your team is good or bad, which you don't necessarily have complete control over because of injuries, et cetera, they're sharing in the risk that your team could be poor. So we went back to 2001 to 2013 and did a season-by-season model, also including the amount of time it takes to go ahead and get an out, the minute per out within the model. We included some other things, as this is a year-by-year model to be able to look at. Again, we're including win percentage and other things like that that traditionally have been shown to be statistically significant. The main results that we do have here is that I did a variety of lag structures based upon a bunch of different procedures that you can use statistically to go ahead and be able to talk about lags of memories in fans' minds. And for most of these things, it involved a single lag plus, if applicable, the individual year's statistic. Again, you see things like win percentage this year and win percentage last year wind up having a positive and significant effect on how much attendance you get over a course of a year. Stadium change, new stadium. Stadium brings up a bunch of new people to be able to come out to your games. But the other things on the left-hand column, including our minutes per out, does not wind up again to be statistically significant. In this case, it is negative, okay? But now you're talking about a situation where, go back to the Giants presentation this morning, 3 million fans being able to come out over the course of the season. What you're talking about is an effect of, say, again, this is over a lag, but maybe 300-400 times 3 or 4 minutes. So you're only talking about, in this particular case, maybe something like 1,200, 1,500 fans difference when your games happen to go longer. So out of 3 million, that's really not that big, right? So that's kind of why you go ahead and get the statistical insignificance here in terms of this relationship. So, in both cases, trying to look at game by game and also going ahead and being able to look at season by season, we don't see any evidence that the fans that are actually going ahead and paying for the tickets to come out to Major League Baseball games seem to have a problem with the length of the game. Okay, so it's a matter of that kind of flies in the face of why are they actually going ahead and being able to make this change then. What you have to remember from the statistics that we're looking at here, though, is we can only measure the fans that actually choose to buy tickets. There's a whole, you know, rest of the universe of fans that sit out there that are not buying tickets that we can't measure because they haven't entered into the data set. So I believe that probably, again, without any kind of inside information or anything, that maybe the aim of the policy is more to bring those people to the mix. Maybe something about, oh, it's going to be a shorter game, might go ahead and tweak somebody enough to go out to the ballpark, they have a great time, maybe you can go ahead and bring them in to come to some more games and be able to get them to be season ticket holders eventually. Now, whether a change in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes is enough to be able to encourage anybody to do that, I really don't know. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough to go ahead and be able to bring in some of these other fans that, or some of these other potential consumers that would go ahead and potentially come out to these games. So, in terms of trying to analyze what's happening with these policies, you have to kind of go ahead and be able to put it in context. Have other leagues tried to go ahead and be able to change the speed of a game to be able to try to get some kind of advantages? Probably the closest one that I can think of is cricket. And I'm not sure if there's any cricket fans in terms of thinking about that if we could have a, you know, Society of American Cricket Research, which would be SACR, or if you went ahead into the Society of United Cricket Research, which would be SUCR. But it's a matter of that. Those type of things could be studied. They they went ahead and they have events that last over 4 or 5 days, right? 6+ hours a day over 4 or 5 days. That's much longer than a weekend series between the Yankees and the Red Sox, right? They went ahead and changed cricket to go ahead and be able to get a very short form that lasts more like what our traditional North American sports would be at, something around 3 hours. Okay, and that has gone ahead and changed a bit of the demographics of who's actually watching and participating in cricket. Of all things, I'm doing a gambling-related study on cricket to go ahead and show how the people differ in terms of what they're betting on in the short form versus the long form. And it seems to be a different audience. It's just like in baseball. There's a different audience betting baseball. A lot of my background research is looking at betting markets and how odds on games are formed for baseball. It looks very different in September than it does throughout the rest of the season, because many of the marginal bettors go to football and stop betting baseball. Okay, so you get a different mix in terms of what people are doing there. Another example I thought of was something like college football. I did a study on college football about a year ago to try to go ahead and break out the results between the change in the clock rules that they had in addition to the kickoff rules of what was happening there. Fans really didn't like the idea of shorter college football games. They had such negative feedback that they went ahead and changed it back a year later to put the old rules back in place that college football games were lasting 3.5, 4+ hours, and fans really didn't seem to have a problem with that. So, you know, again, it's kind of a cautionary tale in terms of what might be happening here. We obviously could make baseball games shorter in a bunch of different ways, policy-wise, that would irritate everybody, you know, shorten the number of innings, et cetera, et cetera. But we all have to go ahead and remember that the lifeblood of this is, you know, television money and being able to get that advertising. We wouldn't want to be able to cut the amount of time on a game so much that you'd lose that commercial timeout, right? Because that's money that's generated that both the owners and the players ultimately go ahead and be able to get some kind of part of. So we're dealing with smaller changes on the margin. Is that enough to really go ahead and tweak people's interest enough to come over to baseball? So maybe as a part of a broader strategy, this might fit in, but in terms of actually buying tickets, there might not be a whole bunch of change. In terms of television, maybe there is something there. Okay, it's a matter of that we don't have the data to be able to look at here, but studies across the globe in terms of sports that look at things like competitive balance studies, uncertainty of outcome studies, there's a big difference between the television audience and the audience that's in person. Okay, this isn't just in North America, it's in many soccer leagues in Europe that people have found this phenomenon. So maybe this is more of a television type idea, right? The idea that SportsCenter is going to be on so late because you have the Yankees and the Red Sox that there might be an ESPN tweak that goes ahead and makes this a little bit different or a little bit better. But without that type of data, I'm not able to go ahead and directly test that for this. So in the end, what we really were looking at here is we were just curious, right? We wanted to be able to figure out the why behind the policy to be able to see if that would affect the bottom line. And in short, in looking at what we did, both on a game-by-game basis and on a season-by-season basis, is it looks like it does not have any impact in terms of what people are going to be doing when they buy tickets. Thank you very much. I do have about 2 minutes if anybody has any questions. Yes. One more time. Source. I haven't looked for one in terms of basically how long it would go ahead and be able to take, and I imagine that would go ahead and then also depend upon day of the week. So you'd have to go ahead and be able to differentiate weekends from weekdays, but that would definitely be possible if there's good measurements out there in terms of where the fans are. Again, immediately comes to mind is Atlanta, right, moving their stadium and being able to get fans that are closer from where they're buying tickets. So something like that would definitely be useful.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fact. And
sure.
It works when I go to San Diego, stay overnight.
Right. Yep, so I guess in terms of thinking about this, it's a matter of that. I'm guessing everybody in this room is happy to spend a lot of time in terms of being at baseball games. The idea is that group that's just beyond that, that what can you do to be able to tweak them, to be able to bring them in? And, you know, it's nice to see the league trying. You know, they're going to try something to see what happens.
It means little to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, the game is often shorter than getting there and getting out.
Yeah, that's true in many places, yes. Sure, one more. Yeah, now basically it's a running average as the season goes on. So basically computed that at the beginning of the season, try to be able to correct for that. Started with the previous season's win percentage for the first homestand, then adjusted. Also tried it for the first 10 games and then adjusted, and it really didn't make that much of a difference. So if I have about a minute or so, yes. Yeah, I've done a study on dynamic pricing in terms of being able to look at that. I have 1 year worth of dynamic pricing for all of the teams that were there, so I used the teams that had dynamic, and I didn't see anything in terms of using the price as a dependent variable. Really, what I have structured is a system of equations, that there's an attendance and there's a price, and it's really the two things that you're looking at here. And so with the price, when you go ahead and put the duration in or the outs per minute, with that 1 year data sample, I didn't see anything. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.